Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to 2019. Wow, I guess I'm a futurist after all. Well, here we are kicking off the new year with one of my favorite friends and co-hosts, Richard Grove, one of the best people you'll ever hear or listen to or meet in your life. He's a fabulous historian. He's a great teacher. And if you're not familiar with Richard's work, get over to tragedyandhope.com. I have a link right here. And today we have some exciting stuff to kick off your new year, especially at a time when people are going to make the same old tired resolutions and then at the end of the year find that none of that happened. So good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Maria. Happy New Year to everybody. Did you make any New Year's resolutions, Maria?
I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. My every day is a resolution to A, stay alive, and B, to continue doing what I do.
Right. Okay. So I didn't make any resolutions either. I'm not a big resolution. I'm a fan of, if you think of a good idea, why wait for January 1st to implement it? And then like January 1st is not a good idea, you know, good day to start doing a new change of habit unless your heart's really in it. Right. And those types of things you usually plan out in advance or you make a plan for in the future. Right. But there's always like today. And what are we going to do today? We're going to seize the opportunity to welcome in a new year, because 2018 for a lot of people, I think a lot of people would say that was like a downer year. And they're always looking to the future. And from that perspective, you could start today, not with a resolution, not with a promise to take action, but just legitimately starting to warm up to the idea of taking action. I'm a big fan of procrastination if you can do it constructively. So if you have good ideas for resolutions, I'm not looking to discourage that. Just make a good plan of action. Figure out what the next step is in that goal. And then, you know, check in with that goal daily. If you really want to do a resolution, if you're into that, there are ways to be successful in doing that. But I don't like to just schedule things for, here's January 1st, I'm going to make these 20 things that I want to do differently this year. And maybe you will. But I always find like a good inspiration and a plan of action is usually the best route to that. And it doesn't have to just start on January 1st. Actually, today's January 2nd, right? Today's the second day of the new year. We can do anything we want today.
There's
no binding resolutions.
That's right. We're free today. I saw a really cute meme yesterday that I had to post. It was the inside of a gym and it was empty. And the top of the thing said, calm before the storm. And I just cracked up laughing because, listen, I've been in the gym for 35 years. And every New Year's, it's like clockwork. I'm sure you've seen it too, Rich. You get a million people sign up and they're gone in 2 weeks because they made that resolution. Right. So meanwhile, they're going to pay for a membership for a whole year that they're never going to use.
Yeah, I stopped paying for gym memberships. Well, first off, gym memberships are like a thing of the 20th and 21st century. In the 1800s and the early part of the 1900s, people didn't have gym memberships. They just did work. There was labor involved
exactly in
life. But now today, it's such a terrarium lifestyle where everything's like artificially provided that people do have to, you know, they definitely feel the need to go to the gym and exercise and do this thing. And that's where the gym industry is just wonderful. They get you into those subscriptions and you use it for a little bit and then you don't use it anymore. And that's the thing. It's like I ended up paying all these different gyms. I remember there was like, I don't know, maybe it was Gold's Gym. And then if you move, that follows you around because there's one in that location that you'd also don't want to use either. You know? And so you feel good paying that membership, but maybe you're not getting the exercise you should, right? So I think that it's because of how we look at those things. Like it's not part of our lifestyle. It's something that you have to add into your lifestyle. That's what the gym membership is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like you could only learn something if you went to the library. There was a day when that, when, you know, you'd have to make a habit. If you want to learn stuff, you got to go to the library. Now that's instantly available. So the internet is like the gym membership, but it's in your home. And obviously people will use it more when it's in their house and they can use it and they see it and they enjoy it. They see the results. So if you're going to exercise, I'm a fan of, you know, exercise as part of your lifestyle, exercise in your house, on your property, with your family, with your friends, do activities outside that don't involve like playing video games and stuff. These are all healthy ideas for 2019, I think.
Oh, I can tell you this, in all the years, Rich, they haven't made one dime on my membership fee. To me, that's the God honest truth, and they know it. They know how pissed I get if they close one day for a holiday. Because to me, that's part of my everyday routine. You know, when they're closed, and I let them know, I'm like, you know, get a non-believer to work the front desk. You know, why does everybody else have to suffer? But for me, it's part of my ritual. It's part of my daily ritual. It's something I do for myself. You know, I get to de-stress. I get to unload right after doing a news show. And I get to stay healthy and strong. And it's, for me, it's just natural. And believe me, they have not made one dime on my membership in all these years.
Well, no, and you're that one person in 100 or 1,000 that actually does that, because you're getting the most out of it, because you call it your ritual, but it's just your lifestyle. It's as much as your life, going to the gym for you is as much of your part of your lifestyle as eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or doing other things that
Absolutely.
Are just like part of your lifestyle, right?
Absolutely.
Right? So that's the difference between those gym memberships that nobody uses and actually, you know, getting the use out of it and getting your money out of it, right? So there's a lifestyle question. Now, some of this lifestyle question comes up when you look at like society on a whole. People think that Americans love their comfort, like that people are slovenly and they're couch, you know, couch potatoes, and they're very sedentary, right? That's the idea, right? Because they love comfort. And they don't like adversity, right? So some people think that's a problem, and you can view that as a problem. It makes kind of people that don't have a backbone. It makes people kind of weak and malleable. It makes people not healthy. There's a whole bunch of things that come from that lifestyle, and part of that lifestyle is accentuated by, you know, football, TV, culture, all this sort of stuff that attracts people. And now with Netflix, people binging on movies. So there's a lot of this that permeates the, like, for instance, not just the American culture, but it is definitely, if you want to look at the prime example, look at America.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You got a bunch of people, some people are way larger than their frames should be carrying, like just from a physics perspective, and that causes health problems. And those people were like, they're victims of a circumstance that has been highly and scientifically engineered to put them in that position, right? So it's like a victim mentality culture, a sedentary mentality culture, a culture that loves its comfort. Well, my theory on all that is because it's not a good thing that's being done to people as a whole, right? That's not a good idea. So you can look at it as people don't love their comfort enough. What do you mean by that? Should they be more sedentary? No, that's not what I mean. In order to truly appreciate comfort, you have to purposely put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Like, make that part of your lifestyle. Doing some uncomfortable things, doing some things that are overwhelming, right? Doing some things that might, you know, have some fear attached to it. And you got to overcome your fear of public speaking or whatever it is, talking to people, right? So there's all these things that could come like from this situation of everyone loving their comfort too much, but it's usually not being stimulated by what we see on mainstream media or in the corporate ad culture, right? They want to stimulate that more because that's how they all make money.
Right.
So my theory is by integrating into your lifestyle, doing things that challenge you, that overwhelm you, but still inspire you. These are things you want to do and that have good things attached to them, like exercise, like going to the gym, right? You don't want to go to the gym. You want the results from going to the gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about changing our mentality on lifestyle and not saying we don't like comfort because everybody likes comfort. That's the problem. It's saying that the best things in life don't come from trying to make yourself comfortable all the time. Sometimes the best things in life come from being overwhelmed or being uncomfortable. Like if you want to appreciate the warmth of the fireplace that you have, go do some work outside when there's a couple feet of snow. Go chop some wood. Go do some real work. And then you're really going to appreciate that when you come inside, right? So that's the self-imposed adversity that helps us to grow. What were you going to say?
You sound like you were describing my day yesterday. Because I got a good fire going in my stove. And, you know, I'm glad I have it in my house because it gets up to like 80 degrees. But I had to continuously go outside and get the snow off my deck because it's a wood deck. So you got to use a broom. You can't use a shovel. And you got to get it while it's soft. But I can tell you, after being out there freezing intermittently, it was good to come back into what I called my sauna. So you totally described my day yesterday.
And that's very healthy to go from the hot, moist air of the inside and the cool, dry air of the outside. And, you know, with 6 inches of snow, someone like yourself has to go out there several times and broom that, right?
Of course.
Because you can't wait till there's 6 inches when you're using broom. And then it'll get slippery and all that stuff. So you have to maintain it actively. And the uncomfortableness of doing the good job that you know you need to do gives you peace of mind, and then you appreciate the roof over your head, the heat in the fireplace, like all these little things that have contributed to humanity for hundreds of thousands of years,
right?
At least.
Well, right? It also made me very grateful that I do go to the gym every day, so I'm still able to do that at my age.
Right, and that's the other aspect. So doing real work in the real world, like living a little bit outside the terrarium, even though you're still enjoying the comfort of indoor plumbing and all these things, I'm not saying go off the grid and do it, but we need to do self-imposed challenges where we expose ourselves to these aspects of reality that are critical to our human experience, and they're also like they're crucial to our internalization of what we are and who we are in this place. Because the terrarium lifestyle of living in a city, you don't like you just turn the thermostat and the electricity or the gas, or the, you know, somebody's maintaining all the operations of the mechanicals and you get heat. That's like a very it's like an extended adolescence mentality. And it's okay that we all enjoy these things for every day, but we should also understand, like, what is the real world like if the gas or the electric or these sorts of things go off? So you could just pay somebody to sweep your deck every time it snows, Maria, right? But don't you recognize that there is a benefit from going out there and doing it yourself?
Of course. You have a sense of pride, let alone anything else. Just the fact that, you know, as I was doing it, I was thinking to myself, you know, my father did this well into his, you know, late 60s, early 70s. And you know, it was part of being healthy and being strong. Yeah. It's not about, you know, one of my friends had said to me a while ago, you know, do you think the way you eat and going to the gym every day means you're not going to die? And I looked at him and I said, first of all, of course I'm going to die. We all have an expiration date. I said, it's the suffering in between that I choose not to have. So that was the end of that discussion from somebody way younger than me who's on about 12 prescription drugs with every disease in the book. So that's not how I see my future. That's not a future I ever wanted, and I work to make sure that doesn't happen.
All right, so you're somebody who works to write their own script in life because, like myself, you and I could be doing other things that are much more lucrative, mm-hmm. but we want to do this. We want to talk to people. We want to explore. We want to learn. We want to do what we want to do. And you've done this for, is it 20 years now?
Well, if I had radio, it's almost 22.
All right. So as an entrepreneur, you wear all the hats basically except doing your website, right?
Well, I do most of my website. He just doesn't let me mess around with the outer edges.
Yeah. You can do the content, but he has the template.
Right. Sure he doesn't want me messing that up, but he did say I'm the only one of his clients that's never messed up my own website.
Right. So like running your own business is like, you know, maintaining your house in a snow situation. Like you do the things where you can go out and broom it and that's fine. That's good exercise. But if your driveway was 400 feet long, you'd probably hire a guy with a snow plow.
Oh, I had my landscaper come for the driveway because it's a beast. So I have no problem with him doing that. I play the little old lady card, as my granddaughter calls it.
That's a good card to play and well played, and it is a well-respected card.
Exactly.
Everywhere I see it played, I'm like, yeah, I respect that.
I play it when it's necessary. Hey, I have nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I tell my granddaughter, On the inside, I'm still 17, just like you. I said, but this outside works for a lot of stuff.
So what I've seen over the past 12 years of knowing you and being on the show is that, and this is a shared phenomenon among people who do what we do, is that the universe has allowed us to do it, but at a very humble and, you know, you might say meager income.
Right.
Like we've both had a subscription-based audience, and that helps to, like, pay for the server, like, all the infrastructure, and it helps keep the lights on and stuff like that. But I don't know about you, but it has never allowed me much financial confidence or flexibility or self-reliance. And I've been fortunate that when I have had to do projects where I ask for money, I just went to the subscribers and said, hey, I'm looking, trying to do this, and here's the goal, and here's what we're going to do. And I mean, that's great. That's what I call bootstrapping. But I was doing it for like 12 years, and it's like, there has to be an easier way for all of us to be able to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Short of some new billionaire who's a libertarian who wants to fund everybody, like short of like the magic wand or magic bullet solution.
Right.
Is there a way that we could learn to like work with each other in a way that benefits our audiences and benefits ourselves and is like a long-term solution for all these problems? I mean, I don't know about you, but well, I do know about you. This is what you cover on your show every day, the problems, the all the things that are going on, right?
Right.
And we're pointing out all these cracks in the wall, not cracks in the wall, that's a bad metaphor these days. You know, like...
We don't have a wall.
All these flaws, and but there's like no resources. Like there's people that want to fix it, but none of us have the resources to do much more than what we're already doing, right?
Right.
And at that rate, I think the problem of liberty and freedom getting flushed down the toilet, like it gets too far along with us just trying to like run on reserve batteries all the time, right? So I've been thinking about this pretty much over, I'd say for the past 10 years. So 2 years into doing it, I was like, wait, we need some resources to solve this problem that none of us have. And there's not really any friendly super billionaires out there who are like, oh, yeah, I think liberty and freedom are important. Here's some money, make it happen, right? Let me know. That has never happened. And the people who contribute to the fundraisers, like when I do them, it's the same names all the time. It's
exactly.
The same generous group of like, you know, top 10% of subscribers who are always making sure. And I said, that's a lot of responsibility for them all the time because, you know, none of us are Rockefeller. None of us own a printing press that just like makes money like the Federal Reserve does, right?
Right.
Makes money and charges other people for it. That's the beauty of their machine.
Right. Well, you know, when I started my show, I was very much against, and still am, advertising. And even though the kid that got me started said, you know, you do the show so you can get some corporate advertisers and have some ads and make some money. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I honestly believe that people would be happy to pay for real information and truth.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, you know, first of all, I live very frugally, or as my sister says, I'm a tightwad, but I like to call it frugal. But I also supplement my income with my spiritual work. If I didn't, this show would have been gone a long time ago. So I understand that frustration, and I've seen so many people come and go that have tried to do what I do, because you just can't make it. So I'm very excited about where this conversation is leading. So I'm going to let you continue. How's that for pass the buck?
This is kind of how I wanted it to go down. I didn't want to tell you about it beforehand. I wanted you to find out about it at the same time your subscribers find out about it. And we have a couple overlapping subscribers, but I don't think they've spread the word yet. So, what I've worked on over the past 10 years as I've cataloged all these problems, I mean, the problems stem down to a couple simple things. They've dumbed us down through a it's not an education system, it's a schooling and indoctrination system. So they take 15,000 hours of your time, and in exchange for that, they don't provide you what you need to survive and thrive in the world. And they take out critical thinking, and they take out creative problem solving. They take out everything that they want to keep for themselves so that they can have a monopoly on all the success in the world. So as you know, you learn all the history by reading, you know, John Taylor Gatto's books. Like, you can learn how it's going on. Here's the people who did it. Here's how they did it. Here's why they did it. Great. Now we've got that. What do we do? Well, my theory was, let's identify what they take away from us. That's probably important. That's why they're taking it away. Let's identify these things they're hiding from us, right, education-wise. Like, is there a method of how to learn anything? Oh, yeah, there is. Why don't we get it in public school? Shh, that's not the purpose of school, right? So I collect all these useful tools, and then I had the benefit of learning some skills in college that I used to pay for college. So while I was going to college, I got a job. And while I was, like, working that job to pay for college, and this was one of many jobs, but this job changed my life. I was no longer working as a fry cook or a guy in a videotape store. I learned how to run my own business while I was getting a business degree, which is so ironic. And so I wrote down, like, the 15 things I learned from that. So it's basically how I had a very successful corporate career. It's what I learned in college, but not from college.
Right.
And this list is something that is, it's priceless. It's invaluable because it's the internalization of each of these things that allows people to have success, have it repeatable, and let you really have a broad sheet. Here's the map of all the possibilities. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And you can figure out how to make that happen. It's not as rocket science-y as everyone wants you to think. Mm-hmm. They want you to think it's complicated, and there's a lot of hard work to figure it out, yes, and it takes a lot of time, yes, but I'm very confident because I've already taught it to some people, and I'm confident if I encapsulate that, many more people can learn the same things, and it's not going to make anyone competitive with each other. It's going to allow all of us to be fruitful and voluntary and continue doing whatever we want to do to write our own script in life and to continue to take actions that are based on freedom and liberty. So I want to continue doing what I'm doing. It's always been a struggle to fund it. You are in a likewise situation, and we have a handful of colleagues who are in that same situation. We also have tons of people in our audience who subscribe to us on and off because they're trying to make ends meet and they're still struggling in life. And then we have a whole bunch of people in our audience who are successful in life and are also looking to make their children successful, to provide a better future for their family. So there's people that are signed up for the course that I'll announce in a minute, from a wide variety of age groups. So from, like, people in their 20s through people in their 80s, men and women from a whole bunch of different countries around the world. Because what I did was I packaged up what I would refer to as, like, the components of success. And then if you take these components and apply them to the path you're on, then you'll likewise find benefit short-term, long-term, far exceeding the cost of the course. So the idea was this isn't like a total grand solution to everything, but for the research and work I've been doing for the past 12, 15 years now, there's some problems. There's a problem of a group of people on this planet that want to control everybody else. Let's call that the New World Order problem. Mm-hmm. People have the individual problem of trying to pay bills, right? We have the problem of trying to facilitate people getting clean, nutritious information and making sure that they are able to discern fact from fiction so that they can live a life where their choices and decisions are leading to the outcomes that they seek. These all seem very simple, and yet we live in a world where, you know, we've got people with college degrees living at home and their parents can't figure out what went wrong and what's going on. There's a lot of turmoil and strife in our country and around the globe right now because we are the inheritors of a very broken on purpose schooling system. Mm-hmm. And we're also subject to people who don't want us to be prosperous, who don't want us outside of a scarcity mentality, outside of a fear-based mentality. They want all these shackles on us so that we can be easily controlled. So the antithesis of what they're doing would be to create people an opportunity for people to have real self-reliance, which generates real self-esteem, self-confidence, all these things that people externally are buying at stores, that, you know, anywhere from Walmart to, you know, Brooks Brothers to Hermes or whatever. Like, there's a wide range of places out there that you can spend your money on some trinket to make yourself feel better or to give yourself a status symbol. What they don't want people doing is seeing that those are all liabilities. And the real asset is investing in yourself, developing your mind, developing your skill set, developing some high value skills that are transferable. You could go anywhere in the world and get paid a high ticket value for those skills. That's not hard to do. And those things are not offered in any college course on the planet, let alone some high school or private school or Ivy League school or whatever. They're not teaching the things you actually need to know to be successful at this point in time. They're right. teaching you, oh, here's how to be successful 20 years ago. Right. The world's not like it was 20 years ago. And the future, 20 years from now, is going to be very, very different than what's going on now. What I would like to see in the future is more people than right now being aware of the concepts of freedom and liberty. The ingredients of freedom being non-aggression, physical self-defense, and intellectual self-defense. The intellectual self-defense is part of my course. My course teaches people how to learn anything and then how to pick what you want to learn and apply that how to learn anything skill set to hyperlearning. That's learning from the internet. So you can learn basically anything you want to know if you learn how to structure that for yourself in the meta learnings. So there's meta learning and hyperlearning, how to learn anything and then how to apply that to achieve a goal with a specific outcome. This is very doable. And again, the reason I put it together is because it should exist, but it doesn't exist. So there's a lot of people who are going to need the course, and I'm not going to open up. The course is called Autonomy, which means it's a freedom to live course, to write your own script in life, to be the solutions to all these problems. And I could go through a whole hour of the list of problems that we're seeing out there and how it solves them. But right now, I'm opening it up to your subscribers because you helped me get my start back in 2006. You listened to Project Constellation. You took it seriously. You called me, and then you broadcast it. And since then, I've been doing a show with you, and I think that your subscribers, anyone who has supported you during that time, deserves like the best break that I can do for them. So I put together a special package, and I'm not selling it publicly right now. So no one else, unless you're subscribed to Maria, you can't even get what we're talking about till like later this spring. So, I don't know. I feel like I monopolized the whole time.
That's all right. I wanted you to explain it. I want my audience to know we're not talking about an MLM here, so don't get scared. And God knows how many times I got sucked into those things. We're talking about actually, as Richard said, giving yourself the freedom. Giving yourself the freedom to live, becoming autonomous. And I'm very glad that, you know, Richard is opening this up to my audience because everybody knows my audience is special and I'm so proud of them, which is why so many people are always beating on my door to get on the show, but a lot of them just don't cut the grade. But if you look at the bottom of the page, there's now a new link there. So if you want to get in on the better level, that link will take you right through. And it just says autonomy. It's the second link down. It's the one right after my own. And that's, you know, a gift to my subscribers. And of course, Richard, you know that I love you dearly. And you are, and I think I told you this, I don't know, all those years ago, God, 15 years ago. You're one of the smartest people I've ever met. And that's not to blow smoke up your, you know, your whatever. But it's the truth of it. And you know, you're very well respected from people that matter. So, you know, I want everybody to check it out. You'll be able to, you know, get in there and mosey about a bit, but remember this is going to roll out in the spring, but you can get the jump on it now, which will save you a lot of money. Cause you know what, Richard, if you people really stop and think about how many times they've gotten sucked into things that are so much upfront money. Okay. Whether it's, you know, like my sister got involved in some business. I forget what the hell it was. She had to stock up about $6,000 right away. A product. I just had another woman who called me. She was very disgusted. Some kind of website that was going to make her rich. And she invested $30,000 in it. And it was bogus. This is an investment in yourself. And it's not thousands of dollars. And it's about being committed to actually taking the classes and the courses that you're going to put up there, which is all included.
Okay, so here's how it works. So here's the details. Yes, it will be available in the spring. And in the spring, the course will be probably it'll be $39.99 or $49.99 by spring. So $4,999 by spring. now is the beta enrollment. So I'm going to do the course live. I'm going to do the course lectures, and I'll do live Q&A for each part of the course. And that'll go on so that when the course is for sale, we'll still do the live Q&A. But you'll be part of a small group of people. Right now there's like 180 people that have signed up for the course. It's all going to be on this platform called Teachable, which is very user-friendly. We'll handle all the support. It'll work flawlessly. I've already used it before. It's a very nice platform for the course. And the special for anyone who is subscribed to Maria Heller is $5.99. And you won't see it less. You won't see it for less. The only people who got it for less were people who were my subscribers. And you got to expect that. They got it for a little bit less, but they hung in. They hung in with a light year of production while I developed the course. And you guys are the first guys outside of my subscribers to even hear about it. I haven't gone anywhere else and talked about it. I don't have a landing page or sales page up for it. Like, what's on the Teachable website is just content we dropped there because we just started setting that up a couple weeks ago. That was a late in the game platform change, but it was a big upgrade because I had so many sign up for the beta users. I wanted to take whatever I was going to do for the public course and do that for the beta course and give them a better user experience. And the coolest thing is that if you're a subscriber to Maria Heller and you're signing up for the autonomy course and you see that price and you're still like, oh, that's a lot of money. Here's what I'm doing. Half of the money, 50% of whatever that price is, for you guys, it's $5.99, but it will work this way in the future, too. Half that money is going to go to Maria because she needs to have a little bit more project money than just what's coming in on subscribers. With this additional money, she could probably even get more subscribers doing a little marketing on Facebook or word of mouth, these sort of things. I could even show you, Maria, how to create an affiliate program for your subscribers, and people who recommend their friends could get a little referral bonus. Because instead of paying Mark Zuckerberg, like this is the future of marketing. You're going to people who already know you. It's a referral-based business model. And students of the course, when you graduate, you get an affiliate link for the course. So I know a lot of my subscribers signed up because they're like, oh, wow, for this price, I'll take the course. I'll get the link. I'll refer a couple friends. It pays for itself.
Right.
That's one of the things that the course is designed to do. Autonomy is designed to pay for itself. It's also designed to create a recurring stream of revenue, should you want to use that. It also teaches you a myriad of other ways that you can get rid of the scarcity in your mindset. Some of the people in the course, because I did this pre-course survey, some of the people in the course are like, they feel boxed in by their corporate job. They have a fixed salary. Mm-hmm. They're scared of losing their job. They're scared of being outsourced. There, all these different things. And it's like, that's a tough way to live.
Yes, it is.
There's a better way. Mm-hmm. You can unlimit that potential. You know, if you take the course and then you become an affiliate, and this is all optional and voluntary. It's not, this isn't what the course teaches. This is just a added benefit or bonus of the course. Mm-hmm. The Teachable platform provides the affiliate structure, and I can give, so when you signed up for the course, I gave you your affiliate link. I marked it at 50%. And so anyone who clicks on your link, you automatically, it goes to you. I don't have to send it to you. It just goes to you. That's how I want it. So people who take the course and then they graduate, they get their affiliate link. You'll also learn what to do with that affiliate link. But a lot of times people are just going to say, hey, where'd you learn that cool stuff? And you're going to say, here, click this link. And then they watch a video. They get the free mini course. There's a whole bunch of education that goes on before anyone's asked for money. And it's all voluntary. It's less than a college semester. It's not available anywhere else on the planet.
Right.
A ton of people need it, and I can only handle so many students at a time. So I'm limiting it, and that's why I just, you know, I haven't tweeted about this and said, here it is.
No.
I wanted to make sure that your listeners had the opportunity, and I think it goes till January 8th is what I ended the coupon at.
Cool. Rich, we need to take a short break. When we get back, I want to talk about commitments. What kind of commitments to be autonomous a person needs to have. And believe me, it's not that deep and it's not that scary, folks. And it is the
It'll
stuff.
Be really useful, actually.
It is the stuff you were never taught. You were never taught in school. I guarantee it. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to Tragedy and Hope. Today's show is all about hope, but not only just hope, but to actually give you a can-do attitude. I meet a lot of people that say, if. Stop starting your sentences with the word if, because that's always going to be a negative. You know, Rich, when I was surfing autonomy this morning, I saw your list of daily commitments of an autonomous person. And I thought to myself, it looks like my father wrote this list. You know, my father was the type of person who believed in all these things: honesty, integrity, you know, helping people because you want to, giving without expectations, living without fear. To you may have seen it in a different light, but as I read through it, you know, even as a Reiki master, I saw so much spirituality in this daily commitment list that I immediately printed it out for myself.
Well, first off, our human experience has the physical component, which is objective, and then you have the individual component, your subjective, you know, your mentality, your spirit, right, your consciousness. And I think a lot of what we deal with in society only deals with the tangible objective, and that's cool because that's what's meaningful between people. What's the directions to this place? Objective things, right? How we think and how we feel is generally not talked about, or it's handled by religion, and in my opinion, it's handled very poorly. We all have a consciousness, we all have a brain, we all have a connection to this universe, this life force that we have. We're still trying to explain it. It's not all been discovered yet. So I like to just start there and recognize that a lot of part, like the biggest part of success that you can maintain and it doesn't cost you anything except effort, is your attitude of gratitude. Right. Most people in this country are in the top 1% of people in the world. So the next time you want to feel sorry for yourself, because I see like there's the victim mentality, there's the attitude of scarcity, there's the extended adolescence. There's a whole bunch of different layers to this phenomenon that we're calling our social interaction right now. Right. In this time and place where we're close to having a civil war in this country, there's a lot of these things, these layers that are being stressed, and they shouldn't even exist as layers in the first place. So what I did was I created that worksheet. It was daily commitments of an autonomous person. I made that years ago, and I made sure that those are aspirations or ideals, like living without fear. Mm-hmm. Good luck. I try to do that all the time. I have to remind myself, like, I don't like to make decisions based out of fear. So I try to remind myself when there's a situation where it's like, oh, well, fear is telling me to do it. Well, let's just think about that for a second. And usually I come up with a better answer. Mm-hmm. Fear eradicates your thinking. Like, fear is the mind killer. And it is used throughout our society like clockwork, because it's very predictable, right?
Right.
So I don't like that. So I try to live up to these ideals on that page. And I'm pretty good at most of those steps. And I'm always a work in progress, and there are ebbs and flows. And you can catch me on a bad day where I might snap at you or something. Woo! Then I'd apologize, because I'm not usually like that. I'd be like, oh, geez, I was under so much pressure. And again, I'm not usually under pressure. So there's a whole thing to like maintaining your whole spiritual balance, let's call it, mm-hmm. right? Spiritual balance through which you're interacting with the physical reality. So that worksheet, I don't know which points you wanted to touch on, but those are all things that I try to keep in mind every day. And I find that when I do those things,
right.
I have awesome days. Like, I very rarely have what I would call a bad day. Because first off, you can have a bad why waste the whole day if you had a bad morning? Like, don't let that ruin your whole day.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of different, but these are like little pieces of philosophy that can help you when you're in those situations. Somebody just cut you off in traffic and you're going to be mad about that the whole day. It's like, wait a minute. It's like they just stole your whole day.
Right.
Like they're stealing your time by doing it.
So right.
There's always little tools that go in the toolbox of mentality that help you maintain, retain, attain freedom and good spiritual balance.
Absolutely. Well, you know, looking at this list, you know, as a Reiki master, you know, we have a list of Reiki principles that you're supposed to repeat every morning. And you start it with just for today. You know, just for today, I'll be stress-free. Just for today, I'll do my work the best I can. You know, whatever you want to make it, really, you can add to it. I start my day with that every day. And yesterday, one of my friends was telling me every morning she wakes up and she dreads the day. And then she has a crappy day. So I said to her, why don't you change that? And while you're just starting to wake up, put your intentions out for the day. You know, just say, today I'm going to have a great day. Today I'm going to be pain-free. Today I'm going to be wealthy. Whatever, okay? Because if you're going to wake up and curse your alarm clock, guess what? You're going to have a crappy day. So people have forgotten that we are the creator of our own universe, okay? We create our day every day by every action we do. So when I looked at your list, it was like, okay, it's like a cross between my father and some spiritual guru that put this together. But yet, you could see this in any of the self-help books that people have submitted to me over 20 years. You know, thoughtful actions stuck out. You know, a lot of people...
The key is the action part, because like that movie, The Secret, was just like, make your vision board and hope.
Right.
And the universe will... I'm like, that's bullshit.
Exactly.
No, that's not reality. What you need is you need to have the right attitude. Like, you calibrate your attitude, and then your actions start to live up to that attitude. That's what people need to get unstuck, is like, you need to stop your wheel and then start it slowly and get traction and get out of that hole, or put some in, you know, put some knowledge and experience in there to get traction, to get out of that rut. Life is not supposed to be a rut. You're not supposed to dread every day. You're not living yet in the Soviet gulag. Although if we don't do something constructive and creative and prosperous for ourselves, that's what they're trying to create for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this solution is self-reliance. I think that, and like selfishness. I don't think that human beings are supposed to be slaves. I don't think that the universe put us here to succumb to like technocracy and robots and stuff like that. Otherwise, it could have just started with that.
Right.
So I think we're at a turning point. We're at a pivot point in human history where we have to pick up the tools that avail themselves and defend freedom and liberty in both cognitive and physical spaces.
Well,
people need to have the right to have their own thoughts, to have their own speech, but they also should have the abilities to like formulate their thoughts and check them against facts and reason, and you know. And
well,
if not, it shouldn't be legal. But right now they're trying to make thought illegal, because that's the next step.
Oh, yeah. Crime. Well, but Rich, you and I have talked about these principles all the years you've been on the show. Everything from critical thinking to self-reliance. So I'm so glad that you were able to put together this course, because most people, they'll listen to the show, but then they're lost. They need the structure of a classroom. And that's basically what it's the truth of it. You know,
it's
for
true,
me, you
true,
know,
true.
I can learn, you know, I have my own bizarre way of learning. And, you know, for me, the structure of a classroom, you know, I like some direction, but I go into my mind and bingo, I'm all over the place and I can figure stuff out. But I even like the structure so far of what I've seen. Because a lot of people need that, and they don't know how to figure it out because they weren't taught how to figure it out, and they're not going to get taught how to figure it out. I mean, I look at what's graduating schools, you know, where I live. These kids can't figure out change. They can't figure out anything. They don't know anything about money. They don't know anything about credit. They don't know anything for as far as life skills. And they need to learn, because otherwise they're going to be, you know, they're just going to be in the service industry the rest of their lives until their jobs are obsolete.
Right. So that's the default. That's the disc before we put an operating system on it. The disc for everybody is you can be in the service industry until you're on some sort of, government dole, because that's the plan for everybody. They don't want you to have skills. They don't want you to have motivation. They certainly don't want you having your own successful business and being an influencer in the world. All those things are possible, and they're not as tough as you think. And the thing is, what I've been doing for the past 12 years is implicit teaching of these things. But now it's time for, let's line them all up. Let's do it linear style, because real learning is non-linear, and it takes a long time. It's a lot of fun, takes a lot of work and energy, but it's non-linear. A course is linear. You can go from A to B to Z and get those results. That's why we like instructions. That's why we like courses. These are things that add value to our human capacity. I have a ton of skills that I learned and I take them around with me. They're stored in my head. I don't have to worry about the hard drive. And if I go someplace and I needed money, I can offer these skills. I can do photography. I can do cinematography. I can do manual labor. I can do consulting. I can, there's a whole bunch of this different things, depending on what I want to do. So even when I need money, it's a choice of, oh, where do I want to apply my time and energy to get that cash for that project?
Right.
Right. It used to be I would film somebody, you know, I would film a concert for some band manager. I'd film his band or their bands that played for the night. And then with that, I'd buy more film equipment for my own operation. That's how I funded it when it wasn't coming from subscriptions. Mm-hmm. But again, there has to be a better, easier, simpler, more prolific way that gets from A to B faster than what we've been doing for the past decade plus.
Right. So, right. Well,
I'm confident that this will be not only a win for anyone who buys it in your audience, like that's hands down. It's going to be a win for the people that are around those people, because when you start to go through the transformation and change from the everyday mentality of scarcity and fear that most people are living in and start to see what's possible, mm-hmm. I promise you it'll be inspiring. And that I'll even offer your audience a guarantee. If you go through the course material and you don't think it was worth the price you paid, I'll give you your money back. That's not an issue. The issue is, can you actually watch some videos and internalize some concepts and take advantage of opportunities and click some links to make yourself more successful on a consistent basis for the rest of your life? Because I know you can. The question is, will you?
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. You know, people need to be consistent. You know, I remember my father, one of the things he drove home to us every day was perseverance, you know, consistency, being ethical, being moral, having integrity. And, you know, it's interesting, Rich, because I've been doing this show so long, but there's so many people still that are still with me from the beginning. And all these years later, the one thing they constantly tell me is I'm always consistent. What I said 10, 20 years ago is the same thing I'm saying now. And the truth of the matter is there is only one truth. And truth doesn't, you can't morph truth. It just is, okay? But when you put in on your list, you know, to be consistently ethical, moral, and fair in every area of my life, well, that, you know, that could have been written by, you know, the top guru on the planet. Because that really is important, you know, to be fair. And the people can see it. You know, just look at the outside world and nothing's fair. Okay? We shouldn't Go ahead.
It sounds like, yeah, you're right. That does sound like something some guru would say. So let me bring it down to reality. That whole idea, the reason you do that, the reason you put in the extra effort to make it a win-win-win situation for people is because that fairness is so much more fun in that situation than ever. Like, the people that sell things and take advantage of people and like deceive them and stuff like that, I was like, why are you wasting all your energy? Like, that's just, you could just take a couple more steps and have integrity in the process. Like, for instance, let me explain something that, again, I haven't talked about these ideas publicly, but I've had meetings on them and shown them to other people. So this isn't a total surprise to anybody, but the goal for most companies, especially anything online marketing, any of that type of stuff you see today, their goal is to make the sale. But for me, the sale is the starting point. At the point of sale, that's when real work starts. Mm-hmm. Because my goal is the testimonial at the other end of this. Because they call the first part the buyer's journey. So everybody just focuses on how to make people buy stuff, right?
Right.
My goal for the course is satisfaction and success, like tangible return on investment type things, okay? And what I want to show that I achieve those results is a testimonial from a student. So that's my end result, because then I take the testimonial, I add that to the landing page, it helps to do the buyer's journey. But the real work that nobody else is really doing is after the sale. Right. Have they been thanked? Did they get their product? Did they know how to use their product? Have you called it, you know, answer any questions? You know, there's a whole bunch of steps that come in this other part of it. So it's like a figure eight, like an infinity symbol sideways. The middle part's the customer and the left side is the buyer's journey, but no one puts in like the customer service journey to get to the point. The goal is success, like a tangible success for the student. You have to make that happen. That's the goal, not the sale. The work starts with the sale of the course, and the tangible is get them through the course. Make sure that they develop the discipline and the consistency and the habits they need. If you see somebody's trying, help them even more, right? If you see somebody has, you know, they bought the course and they haven't taken it, but they're going to take it because they planned for later this summer, then make a note and follow up with them later this summer and see if they started the course, if they had technical difficulties. Do as much as you can to make sure that each and every person that goes through has success. Now, where did I learn a crazy idea like that? Okay. Imagine a young Richard Grove working, flipping cheesesteaks. Okay. I worked at a cheesesteak place, and on football weekend, I'd have to make like 1,000 cheesesteaks. So I'm working at this job. Not fun, but I'm paying my bills. And then I started working for this company that trained entrepreneurs. It was called AAA Student Painters back then. And they taught you how to have a house painting business during the summer, like while you're home from college. So the goal wasn't to paint the house and get paid. The goal was, I want an A+ on this report card that every customer fills out at the end. And if I tell my painters, and this is my, you know, theme for the company, that we don't leave until, like, you don't even pay. We don't take any money until we get a straight A on this report card. That made sure that we were all in integrity, right?
Right.
So I won the award nationwide out of like 5,500 executives for highest customer satisfaction. And I also made a lot of good money from that. And I was like, there is a relationship, a direct relationship between customer satisfaction and having a successful business. And then growing up in life, I expected to see that practiced in the corporate culture, and it's totally not.
No, it's not.
We live in a culture today that has no customer satisfaction.
Right.
So otherwise, I wouldn't have this opportunity.
Absolutely. No, it's non-existent now. But, you know, back in my day, customer satisfaction was everything, every job I ever had. The customer's always right. It didn't matter if they were wrong. You had to give them right, and you had to bend over backwards and be grateful for the business they gave you. But that has long been disappeared. But notice I threw in that but, Richard. Every now and then, someone surprises me with great customer service. That person gets more referrals out of me than anything else. And they're grateful for it because they have integrity. I mean, it's rare.
You can't buy that with advertising.
Exactly.
You can't buy that with advertising.
Exactly. I mean, listen, the town I live in, you could kill yourself before you can find a handyman or anybody to show up for any kind of work. Okay. And I had called this electrician. Something about his ad in the phone book just caught my eye. The guy came here, he went through my house for an hour and a half, explaining everything, tearing everything apart, letting me touch everything, see everything, smell everything, telling me what the problem was. And he was so honest. I mean, after all that, I think his bill was like $105, Richard, for an electrician. Will I recommend him? He's the only person I'll recommend. I was lucky to find a plumber the same way. Have I recommended him? Yes. When he comes and does work for me, he hugs me before he leaves now. So there are those people, and they're successful. Try and book these people because they're booked all the time because they have integrity and they have great customer service. And the ones that don't, let me tell you, they get flamed by me like nobody's been flamed, because I was raised at a time where that was expected. And this is part, I'm sure, of what your course is teaching as well.
Well, it is. It's not only expected, but it's you know, it needs to be rejuvenated and revived. And I think the only way to do that is to offer people the chance to get the education that leads to the action that makes the change. And then pointing out the whole way, if they get lost or have trouble crossing, you know, one of these areas and traversing the information, there's 200 students in the class, and there's a whole bunch of moderators and people to help. So it's not just me. I have a whole team of people working to help me deliver this, to make sure that customer satisfaction it's beta enrollment. Things are going to go wrong. You're seeing an unrefined, you know, unfinished product, but it's going to be catered and tailored to the needs of the students in the course. And we're going to try our hardest. And then by spring, if you want the good customer service that comes with the right email template and all the shiny polished stuff, then the course costs a whole lot more. But I know for your audience and your listeners, they're fine with the beta level. They're going to get all the content. They don't need all the bells and whistles and all the things that, you know, all the tech issues that get refined. They can go along with that. They know the par, you know, it's par for the course for an entrepreneur launching a project and doing a beta enrollment for a course.
Right.
They understand. So that's why they save the big money. And if they want to wait till spring, that's cool too. Because my dad says, he's like, everyone you sell to now is one you can't sell to at full price later. I say, hey, that's good advice. I'll take that under advisement.
Right. So, but you know what? Sometimes there are always those people, Rich, that think they're getting something better if they pay more. So
yeah,
it's really,
I can also say,
out there.
The people that have taken my work implicitly and, like, you know, found value from it, they're still buying the course anyway because they want the quick, here's the soup to nuts, A to B, you know,
right,
straight through, the, you know, everything
right,
organized. So,
well, Rich, we're just about out of time, but I want to say this. In all my life, I've never met a young man, that the man that I met in 2006, who was as brilliant as you are, and I told you that. I'm not surprised where you're headed. You've interviewed nothing but the most brilliant people on earth. Your work stands alone. And if anybody listening, myself included, listen, I get a lot of books that could go along the same kind of line of what you're talking about, but I'm going to do your course. So that says a lot. And I'm not saying that to make you, you know, feel weird or, you know, blow your ego up, because I know you don't have that big an ego. You should, but you don't.
My ego is my amigo, and it rides in the back seat. It doesn't drive.
That's the best thing, the best way to put it. I always say, if your ego is not your amigo, get rid of it. Rich, thanks so much. I can't wait till we talk again.
All right. Thank you to everyone listening. I'll see you in class.
Okay. Take care. Richard Grove. Check his work out at tragedyandhope.com. Check out the link right here. It's on every page on my website. Because I promote people I believe in. And I've believed in Rich since that fateful weekend that he sent me his Project Constellation. So I will see you guys actually tomorrow when I'll be back with the news. So thanks for listening and supporting the show. See you then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.